about the Rebbe later. Anyway, let's continue. Skeptics. Anyway, Vidhi Shamda. We are now at the end of page one. Perfect. Vidhi Shamda. Right, Vidhi Shamda. We cover the matzos because we're going to pick up the cup. Whenever we pick up the cup, we cover the matzos. Very, very important. Uncover the matzos as soon as Vidhi Shamda is over. Okay? In other words, some people go, were we supposed to, somebody will pipe up, were we supposed to uncover the matzos? Or, hey, it says here, later on, we're supposed to cover the matzos. Didn't we cover them at Vishnu? Oh, we were supposed to uncover them? They're still covered. This is an important part of the evening. It's Lechem Oni. Lechem Shonen Lov Dorem Harbe. Supposed to say the story over this. So just during Vihi Shamda, when we pick up the cup, what is Vihi Shamda all about? Vihi Shamda Lavosenu Vilanu. What's Vihi? She. Torah, not Torah. How's it pshat, Vihi? So what's it referring to? Nobody knows. Come on. What's the it's feminine. Look at the Haggadah. What's the piece right before him? Baruch Shomer Haftacha Sol Yisrael. It's the Haftacha. It's that Haftacha that Gosh Baruch Hu watches over us. That was Omei Lavosenu. This is pshat. This is just true. V'yi Shamda Lavosenu V'lanu. This is what has withstood all of history and all of time. That the Goyim are always after us. And it was actually during the Seder, during the Pesach, where the Goyim were even more after us. Right? The blood libels. We'll talk about the Rav Matzah Solomon later. In other words, this was the time. And our enemies are always out to destroy us. And now, living in Eretz Yisrael, living in modern day Israel, where enemies are actually trying to destroy us in a physical way, it's not something that you have to conjure up. You don't have to conjure it up. We have it nowadays. Right? They're trying to destroy us right now. Now I want to tell you. Let me tell you what Maggid is all about, and that's why the first page has to be done quickly. And I want to tell you, I added in a lot more than I actually say during my Seder. What is Maggid? Let's go through page one just outside for a second. Lechem Oni. Make sure you tell the story over this Lechem Oni, because it's Lechem Shonen Lov Dorem Harbe. Manishtana, make sure you tell the story through questions and answers. Avadim Hinu L'Farah B'Mitzrayim, we start the beginning of the story, the first line of the story. We were Avadim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. There were five Zakenim who tell this story all night. What's the difference between this story on the night of the Seder and the night during the Mitzvah Zechir Zitzirin Tzayim all year round? You have to make sure that the story is catered to each individual. When should we tell the story? From Rosh Chodesh? No, only when Matzah and Maror is in front of you. We begin the story a little bit with when Mitzchilo Odei Avodazara Yivoseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise. At no point did we start telling the story yet. All we did was talk about the story. When should we tell the story? Who should we tell the story to? Make sure you cater the story to the individual. Make sure you say the story over the Matzah. Where's the story? Skip page two for a second. On page three, we finally have at least a mention. One mention of Esther Makos. We spoke about Kriyas Yamsu for three paragraphs, and then we sing a beautiful song called Dayenu. And then we go to Rabbi Gamliel, the Tamei HaMitzvos, that if you don't also say those three words and the Tamim of the Mitzvot, you didn't say the Sipur fully. And then we have Hallel, and then we have the Bar Gafen. Where's the story? Where is the story? The story is on page two. How is the story on page two? And why is it that everyone does the Seder wrong? Because it's too hard. It's too difficult. These are drushos. They look so dry. The question is, this is the real Sipur. How is this the real Sipur? Why was this chosen as the real Sipur? What is in it that's so full of the Sipur? That image I'm going to take a little break for. You can press pause on your pause on the iPods. When I do a makolet run, whoever wants the mak run, you'll be able to eat and drink during the Seder. We're going to start in about 10 minutes. Now at the page two, which is the Iker part of Magid. Now how do I know that this is the Iker part of Magid? This is the Iker part of Magid. For many reasons. Number one is, the way I know that this is the Iker part of Maggid is that this is the only place where we're actually doing Maggid. We're actually telling the story. So obviously, this is the story. This is big. Now, why was this chosen? Why was this chosen? What are these psukim? So I want to now, if you just take a look at the page, I think that by seeing it here on a page all at once, all of those psukim in the drashos, and the way that I formatted the page, you will see something that, if you didn't notice it before, you didn't know in your Haggadah, so I would say almost like shame on you, but it's not shame on you because you didn't know any better. But now you'll know. We darshan four psukim. We are quoting the midrashim on four psukim. If you take a look, we have the paragraph that starts Arami, the paragraph that starts Vayareyu, Vanitzak, and Vayotzeinu. Those are four psukim that are quoted in Sefer Devarim. In the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, these are four psukim that when a person brought Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, not only was there a mitzvah of Havas Bikurim, there was a mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. And when a person brought the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, he went and he said an entire, like, text. He said there were basically six psukim there in that text. The first pasuk is, Arami Aved Avivere Mitzrayim, we went down to Egypt. The second pasuk is, Vayareyu, Vayareyu Son of Mitzrayim, we went down to Egypt and they afflicted us and we were slaves. The third pasuk is, Vanitzak, we called out to Hashem and He helped us. The fourth is, Hashem took us out. The fifth is, and then Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael. And then the sixth pasuk is, and here are my beautiful fruits, and I'm bringing them to the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the six psukim that make up Mikra Bikurim. What is going on in our Haggadah? We are quoting the first four psukim, and we are darshaning the four psukim. So for example, take a look at Arami Aved Avi. It's very, very clear in the way I put it on the page. Arami Aved Avi on the third line, we have the entire pasuk. Vayir Mitzayim V'Gashem V'Sem Yavi Shangul Gogo Tzum Barav. In other words, we're quoting each part of the pasuk and dashing it. It's basically just medrash on these psukim. We do it for the first pasuk, we do it for the second pasuk, we do it for the third pasuk, we do it for the fourth pasuk. In the fourth pasuk, we find something very, very interesting. Just take a look. I just want, again, for the formatting. We say, the fourth pasuk is Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. Go to the first drasha one line later. And now, we just quoted this pasuk in the middle of our drasha, and now we're going to drash in this pasuk. This is like a long parenthetical right now. And now we go. Okay, back to the original pasuk. There is no way to notice this while you're reading the Haggadah, unless the Haggadah looks like this. Unless it's formatted in such a way. One Haggadah I found is formatted this way properly, and that is the Art Scroll Youth Haggadah. That tall, huge Art Scroll Youth Haggadah. The other Haggadah that I know of, that also formats it properly, it's even better in this Haggadah. It's even better in this Haggadah, because I used color. So for example, in Arami Aved Avi, you have the pasuk in blue, and then all the drashos are the words in blue darshaning it. And when you get to this pasuk, when you get to this page, you have the pasuk in blue, and then during the drasho, the first one, we quote another pasuk in red. We darshan the words of the pasuk in red, the pasuk in the words in red, and then we go back to the blue. We go back to the original pasuk.
Patriotic.
Okay. Yeah. It's just nice colors. Anyway. Which patriotic? Anyway, I'm not talking about that right now. Anyway, this is, it's important. It's important. You have to know that we're darshaning these four psukim. Now, you see, on these four pages here, right, if you take away Dayenu, the song, a couple of midrashim here and there, some cute stories, this is the major chunk of the Haggadah, of Maggid. This is it. This is the full Talmud Torah here. Now, what exactly are we doing here? Why are we quoting these psukim? Why are we quoting psukim in Parshas Kisavo and Dvarim? Why don't we have Sefer Shmos, Parshas Bo, Ba'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro? Maybe Yisro a little bit. Why are we not quoting Sefer Shmos? So first of all, it could be too long. But I think there's a better answer. And the better answer is that what's happening in these four psukim is that a person, when he brings his Bikurim, is saying now, in the first person, we went down to Mitzrayim. We were slaves in Egypt. We called out to Hashem. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Here are my fruits. In other words, this is actually what the entire evening is all about, in order so that a person should feel that he left Mitzrayim. And this is, we take an example from Sefer Devarim, Parshas Kisavo, where a person speaks in the first person about this. A second idea. It is important to tell the story and not just tell the story. We're trying to tell the story in a Talmud Torah fashion. And the way to do it in a Talmud Torah fashion is to quote psukim and to darshan those psukim. Now, we darshan every single word of these psukim in order so that we can highlight some aspect of the Shibud Mitzrayim. This is the ikar part of the Magid. And the Rambam writes that when we quoted earlier, V'chol amar b'lesapir b'siyas asayim harezim eshubach, the Rambam writes, the Rambam paskins, V'chol hamarich b'droshas arami oved avi atzof kol haparsha harezim eshubach. It's specifically talking about these psukim. These are the ones that you should delve deeply into. Now, what am I telling you now? What are you going to do during your Seder when they're up there, the four kids, and everyone's talking about the Tom, and everyone's saying the Einar Yedilishol, At Pesach Lo, why? At, why? Is it feminine? And on with the drushos. By the time you get up to page 2, everybody goes, it's getting really late. Wait, but by my rabbi said that this is the Iker. It's getting very late. Save it for the meal. Let's get up to Dayenu already. We have to get up to Rav Gamliel. It's time. Save it the meal. You'll be able to speak during the meal. So I'm not telling you to change anything. You cannot change things that are beyond your control. But I'll tell you, you should learn after your Seder. With the Talmidim who were at my Seder, we stayed up afterwards. We said Shir HaShirim together. It was a tremendous Ava between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we went back to these drashos and started trying to figure out what exactly were they darshaning from the Pasuk. What was wrong with the Pasuk that they even thought of the drasha? What was the wrong Mishuta Shal Mikra there? And we delved deeper into these midrashim. This is something that you can do. If you're not going to do it after the Seder because you're very, very tired or whatever, so then you do it during the day. In other words, I know it's not the mitzvah after the night is over already, but a person should learn these drashas. We're going to go through now pshat, certain different little haros on all of these drashos. This is the Iker mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We just uncovered the matzos after Vihisha Amda, because this is the Sipur. This is it now. Tzeu Lamad! Tzeu Lamad! Ma bikesh Lavan Arami la'asos le'Yaakov Avinu. Tzeu Lamad! Oh, what a great drasha. Tzeu Lamad! Lavan acted like such a good friend. He gave a big hug to him, like as if it's one of his family. But inside, he was thinking about how to deceive Yaakov Avinu. Tzeu Lamad! Sometimes you have to leave in order to learn. You have to leave the present situation. You have to leave the dalet amos of the person in order to see what the real person is like. This is such a great musar for a ben Torah who's in yeshiva. When you're learning, when you're in yeshiva, of course, pashut. Say ulamad. If you leave yeshiva, when you're going towards ben hazmanim and you're going to be away from yeshiva, that's when you learn the true essence of the person, whether the Torah really became a part of him or not. Say ulamad. All right, musar is over. Don't give that musar during the Seder. Anyway, let's continue on. Sheparolo gazar le'alascharim, the Lavan bikesh la'akor sakol. Lavan was trying to destroy everything. And that's why we say in Pasuk number 1 of the Mikra Bikurim, Arami Ovei Davi, the Arami, which is referring to Lavan. Lavan was trying to destroy Yaakov Avinu, and because of all of the strife there, eventually it led to Vayer and Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim. Vayagar Sham b'Misei Ma'at, he lived there with small numbers. Vayihisham L'Goy Gadol, he became a big nation, Atsum Varav. Now the Gemara goes through each drasha. Vayerid Mitzrayim anus al pi adibur. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. He was anus al pi adibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go down. The problem is that's not even true. Yaakov Avinu said to his sons, he says, let me go and see Yosef before I die. So why are we saying that he was anus al pi adibur? The answer is, he had intentions to come back. He didn't have intentions to stay. But the idea that we were going to now, our next geographical location was Mitzrayim, that was something that was anus al pi adibur. And that connects to the next drasha, Vayagar Sham. We lived there, Yagar. Shemelamit shelo yarad Yaakov avinu lishtakeh ad Mitzrayim lagur sham. Lagur, like a ger. In other words, not to be mishtakeh, not to live there as like that's our homeland, but rather just to live there temporarily. Shenemra vayomru al paro lagur baretz banu. We're just living, we're just passing by. Ki ein mirel atzana shel avadecha, ki chaver arab eretz kanav, v'ata yeshinu avadecha b'eretz goshen. Let us stay there for a little bit. B'mesei ma'at. We were there in very small numbers. K'mash ne'emar, b'shivin nefesh ardu ha'vasech b'tzrayma, v'ata samcha Hashem elokecha, k'chovei ha'shamayim l'rov. There were tremendous nisim in that our small 70-man nation turned into a nation of 600,000. It was a tremendous nace. Also, one of the nisim, one of the special things was, the more they tried to afflict us, the kasher yaneh, oso ken yirbeh v'chen yifrot. The more they tried to afflict us, the greater in numbers we got. That was a tremendous, also, we're giving our karas atov now, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the fact that we got into big numbers. Important fact to prove this yisod, Shevet Levi did not do avoda. Shevet Levi was given a pass for doing avdus, and that's why, in terms of numbers, they were the smallest shevet. Because this yisod, as the more we were afflicted, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu reversed the natural consequences. Vayhi sham legoy, we became a nation. Melami shayu yisrael mitzuyanim sham. Klal yisrael were mitzuyanim sham. They were mitzuyan doesn't here mean fantastic, like you got a mitzuyan on your test. But mitzuyan means that they had a tziyun. They had tziyunim on them. They had markings on them. They were distinctive. What made Klal Yisrael distinctive? So here you have to mention that Klal Yisrael, lo shinu es shemam, es lashonam v'mabusham. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their language. They didn't change their dress. They still were able to maintain Jewish identity. And that was critical in order for Klal Yisrael to take the, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take Klal Yisrael out. Gadol, atzum. We just populated at a rabbit's pace, at a very, very fast pace. We had six children in one fell swoop, in one. So I have this great picture here. I got to show you guys. I have here Tzipora on this pasuk. Tzipora is holding six dolls. Tzipora is holding six dolls here. That's like having six babies at once on this pasuk, on this drasha. This is what this drasha is talking about. Let's continue. Okay, let's go on. Let's see this open. Let's see my babies. Okay, here we go. We continue. We're also many. Kamash and Amar. What happened?
The Rav.
Kamash and Amar. Revava ketzemach hasadeh nesaticha vatirbi. This is the psukim that are referring to that are referring to growth of like agriculture, like tzemach. Tzemach grows and is tremendous. So too we grew in a tremendous way. The Abudraham in the Rishonim says that when you cut off a tzemach, let's say you cut off tzemach while it's growing, you know what's going to happen to it? It's gonna shoot off and even grow more. That's the same idea that we were talking about kasher yaneh, so can you bear, can you throat? It's like a tzemach. Now we quote a pasuk, and this is actually the latest addition, to the Haggadah, and that is a pasuk, I think it's from the Arizal, who quotes, Va'avor alayich va'areich b'smoseses b'damayich, v'amalach b'damayich hayi, v'amalach b'damayich hayi. I see you in your bloods, and I say in your blood that you shall live, in your blood that you shall live. What is this referring to? It's referring to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two mitzvos that relate to blood. B'damai chayi, b'damai chayi. Two blood mitzvos. Those are Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. And we were able to live through those two mitzvos because those two mitzvos, Rav Shlomo Zalman explained, that these two mitzvos are the mitzvos of Mesiris Nefesh. And it was only because Mesiris Nefesh of Am Yisrael, Mila, right before that we were about to go on a derech, Pesach, shechting the Korban Pesach right in front of the Egyptians who worshipped the Seh, that was something that was Mesiris Nefesh. And when we do Mesiris Nefesh against the Teva, against regular Teva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers us with Nisim that are Me'ala Teva. And this is Va'at Eirom Ve'erya. We were naked. Meaning we were naked with Zechuyos, we were naked from mitzvos. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these two mitzvos, V'amalach V'damayi Chayi, V'amalach V'damayi Chayi, in order so that we should be able to be Zoche, in order to merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, because we weren't Roy yet. That's why this was added into the Haggadah, because it's only because these two dams that we're able to survive and be able to be merit Yitzias Mitzrayim. We go on now to pasuk number two. Pasuk number two is Vayareu Asana Mitzrim Vayenunu Vaytnu Alei Navagat Hasha. They give us very, very hard work. So Vayareu Asana Mitzrim, drasha number one. Kemo Shenemar Havin Ischak Malo Pen Yirbe Vayek Yisikrenem Mechamad Osav Gomu Asanim Mechabana Balamin Aretz. Paro said we got to get smart because they're going to be a great, they're going to be a very populous nation, and then they're going to decide to go to war with us. In other words, the Paro was thinking about how to defeat the Jews before we even got started. It's important to mention that there were many stages. There were many stages to the Shibud and to the Gzeros of Paro. Nischak Malo. They were trying to do it with wisdom. In the beginning, just work. Work was enough in order so that we wouldn't grow as a nation. Then he said that the Mialdos should kill all the boys. And why did he do that? Why did he tell the Mialdos that way, to kill only in such a roundabout fashion? In order so that people will then be able to say, the child didn't really die, the child was a stillborn, the child died in the baby died in childbirth. In other words, not to be overtly murder. And then, eventually the Gzera blossomed into full-fledged, take the babies and throw them into the Yor. In other words, there were many stages, and he was trying to get the Mitzrim also on board with all of these Gzeros, so they had to be done slowly, slowly, slowly. It took time for this to happen. It took time for this to happen. I think it took three, according to the Midrashim, took 3 1/3 years for these Gzeros to happen. They didn't realize there was a tremendous naysayer that despite the Nischak Malo of Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu grew up right under his nose. Bas Paro found him, brought him up in the palace. They were all doing this in order so that there won't be a Moshiach, somebody who was going to take Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and they didn't realize. This idea of the stages, the idea of doing things in stages, is clearly something that connects to the Holocaust. That during the final solution, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they also, the Gzeros against Jews were not just full-fledged, let's put them onto trains and bring them to concentration camps. There's many, many stages, many, many stages that it has to get the German people accustomed, and basically once you do something in stages like this, so then nothing is seen as too much, too big of a jump in one shot. Vayanunu, we'll quote something about that relates to the Holocaust soon too. Vayanunu, Kemashin Amar, they afflicted us. Vayasimu alav sarim yisim laman anosobisiblosam, vayiven arei miskenos lefaro as pisom ves Ramses. We had to build pisom and Ramses, tremendous sevel, tremendous inui. There was avodah, kasha, we had to build these two cities. Paro made the gzera much harder. And then vayitnu aleinu avodah kasha, kemashin Amar, vayavidu b'nei insayim es b'nei sol befarech. There was Avar the Kashan, there was Befarech. What's Befarech? So different Befarshim say different things about Befarech, and this is the Pasuk where you should be talking about the Shibud in Mitzrayim, how bad it was in Mitzrayim. So for example, they gave, according to the Midrashim, they gave Avodah that wasn't appropriate for each person. They gave men women's work, women men's work. They gave things that a child could do to an older person a child could do. They gave things that were inappropriate for the person. They gave avodah that didn't have any toeles. An avodah that just do it for no reason. There's a story that they tell about during the Holocaust, that they had a guy who was next to a wall, and there was a metal piece coming out of the wall, and he told him to turn the wheel around. It's something that's happening on the other side of the wall, on the other side of the building, that you need to all day do it. And he did it for months, or he did it for a year. And then somebody showed him, one of the Germans at the end, one of the Nazis, you know, I wanted to show him at the end, and he took him to the other side, and he saw that it was connected to nothing. And it was the worst type of, like, that was for nothing, that nothing was happening, that there was no toils to what you were doing whatsoever. That's a tremendous inui. That was also part of the Shibud. When I had guys over, it was one of those first Siddurim that I had guys over, and I had them being the Egyptians, so I told them what to do. I told them to have them move like these heavy Diet Coke lemon bottles, let's say. Have them, it was not special place at the time, so let's forget it. Anyway, bring these bottles of soda, move them to that side of the room. Now move them back. In other words, I tried to ask them to do things that would also relate to the shibud. And then when we got back to the table, so we there's a lot of getting up during the seder. We jump around like frogs. Anyway, there's a lot of different things going on during the seder to make it very active and interactive. But one of those things is senseless work. We continue. Vanitzak. Then we dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vanitzak Hashem Lokei Avoseinu. Vayishma Hashem Es Kolenu. Vayares Onyenu. Vesamaleinu. Vesachatzenu. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw our afflictions, saw our hard work, and the lachatz and the pressure that we were in. First drasha. Vanitzak El Hashem Lokei Avoseinu. Kemasha Neemar. Vayihi Vayamim Arabim Ma'im. Vayamas Melchatzayim. Vayinchu Bnei Yisrael Min Avodah. Vayizaku. Vatal Shav Hashem Elokim Min Avodah. Here we have a beautiful vort. Berushim al Chumash, it's in the Haggadah Marathon, sure, I think. The Orachayim and the Sforno. And they say, it never says in this pasuk that we really davened. It just says, Vayanchu, they sighed, they groaned, Vayizaku, and they kvetched. Vatal Shavasam el Elokim. Their tefillahs went up to Hashem. It doesn't even say that they davened. It says the Sforno and the Orachayim HaKadosh, they didn't daven. They kvetched. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard that kvetch. Kadosh Baruch Hu heard that cry as a tefillah, and he accepted it as a tefillah. In other words, when you hear your baby crying, you go into the room to go check on it. That's what happened. That's like the tefillah. The baby might be going, Eva, Eva, but not necessarily, not always. Here we weren't even saying Abba. We weren't even saying Abba, but Kadosh Baruch Hu heard that sound. We continue. We're not up to Vayanu, no? I don't know where we're up to anymore. Vayishma Hashem es kolenu, k'mashin emar, Vayishma Elokim es na'akasam, Vayishma Elokim es b'yisrael es Avraham es Yitzhak ves Yaakov. Very similar to the drasha that we just said. Vayar es onyenu. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw our affliction. Zo precious derech eretz. This is that husband and wives stopped living together. Stopped sleeping together. K'mashin emar, Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael ve'yada Elokim. Precious derech eretz. This is an important part of the Shibud too. It upset. It interrupted family life. This is an important aspect of the Shibud also. One of the things, we stopped living together as a family, as proper families. Maybe that's why Pesach turned into such a family-oriented chag, because this was also part of the Shibud itself, that we weren't able to be a family. Ves amaleinu elu habanim, k'mashin emar kol habene yilod hayorot hashlichu v'chabaz t'chayun. Hashem saw amaleinu, saw the children, saw the future. Ves lachatzinu zo adachak. In other words, we are also under a lot of pressure. In other words, a slave doesn't just work a lot, and he's upset, and his family existence is not working. It's also extremely taxing emotionally. Rezal lachatz, we're under a lot of pressure. And then they made the work, you know, the gzeira of power was to make more with less bricks. There's a lot of pressure. That was something that was extremely unhealthy. And that was also part of the Shibud. It was the psychological Shibud. And that's something that also we called out to Hashem, and Hashem heard that cry too. We're now up to Pasuk number 4. Vayotzi'enu Hashem Yitzayim Yad Chazokav Zoronit Yav Mar Gadol Masos Masim. Harish Bakal took us out with these tremendous nisim. Vayotzi'enu Hashem Yitzayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Lo Hayidei Malach. Lo Hayidei Sarav. Lo Hayidei Shliach. El Kadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo Atzma. Hashem is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. And we darshan it. Why? Because it says, I went to Mitzrayim, and this night I killed the Bechorim. Kadosh Baruch Hu did makas Bechoros, even Behemah. I also, in the gods of the Egyptians, I did Nisim, Ani Hashem. Avarti, first person, Ani Velo Malach. See, Ani Velo Sarach. First person, Ani Velo Ashlech, Ani Hashem. Anihu v'lo acher. It's all me. It's not anyone else. Now, what is the purpose of saying this, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim by Himself? What's the purpose? Like, it doesn't matter. So He sends a lot of malachim to do a lot of things. Why is it important that Hashem is the one who did this? So there's a Gemara in Tainus that says that there are three maftechos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give to a malach. He leaves it for Himself. The first one is rain. The second one is birth, achaya. And the third is Tchias HaMesim. So the question is, what is this one? So you could say it's like Tchias HaMesim. After we just stated in the pasuk beforehand, that would, like, it's almost like an Eved, it's like Chashiv Kames. An Eved is like, this was like an Avdus Lecheres, this is an Eved Avdus that was like, you know, basically like death. So maybe this was a Tchias HaMesim of sorts. Maybe. Another pshat, which I like very much, this was our birth.
This was our national birth. And when it comes to the national birth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not leave that key into any Malach's hands. He does things himself. And now I'll tell you what I just think is even more pshat than these beautiful ideas that we just said, and that is, when you do something yourself, it means that you're doing it out of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by wanting to take us out when we weren't ready, and he gave us certain zchios so that we could get ready, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does nisim v'nifalos for us, and he breaks teva. He only did this because he loves us like a father loves a son. It's like a mother who loves a child, a mother who not buys a birthday cake, but makes a birthday cake herself. When you do something yourself, when you have that personal touch, it means you're doing it out of love. Now, bottom line, it doesn't make a difference because we left Mitzrayim. Who cares whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it or Malach did it? But it does matter because since we're trying to develop here the kesher to the Ribono Shel Olam, so the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it b'atzmo, did it b'ava, just within us, springs forth more ava in order so that we want to then have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the first drasha of pasuk number 4. We're now in drasha number 2 of pasuk number 4. Biyad chazaka zoha dever. Kemal shenemar, and we quote a pasuk where it says basusim b'chamorim b'gmalim b'bagam v'tzom dever kaved ma'od. Ubezra netuya zoha chelev. Kemal shenemar v'chabar shlufa biyado netuya Yerushalayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out with Dever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out with Cherev. I don't know, where's the Cherev in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So I think that, I don't remember who says this, because in the notes, what I'm using right now is not my Divrei Torah on Haggadah, the Vortlach on Haggadah. I'm now up to, I have like 120 Vortlach on Haggadah. What I have right in front of me are my Leil HaSeder notes. So I didn't necessarily, I should, but I didn't actually say Davar V'Shem Omro, because I keep quoting to my kids. The Abarbanel says this, and the Tzitz says this, or Dessel says this. It's actually taxing on a person. So I just make it as if it's all my own. No, I'm just kidding. I just say it without saying the B'Shem Omro, and that's why some of the things I do not have the B'Shem Omro right here. But I thought the nicest shot was Dever is Maka number 5, and Cherev is Makas Bechoros, which is Maka number 10. And what we mean is the first 5, Biyad Chazakah is the first 5, and Bizra Netuya is the second 5. In other words, we're splitting up the Makos into 5 and 5. Next, that's a Shishpshat. That's Biyad Chazakah is Zohadever, Bizra Netuya Zohacherev means 1 to 5, 6 through 10. Ubimoragadol, we're up to the next drasha, Moragadol, Zogilu Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, but he allowed us to see a glimpse of the Shekhinah because we saw the Nisim and Falls with our own eyes. This is something that we also give HaKadosh HaTov to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. We were able to see things that we weren't able to see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a glimpse of him that was so clear to us. Zeh Kelev Anveihu and Kriyas Yam Suf. We were able to see the Makos with our own eyes. How all the Egyptians were suffering and we weren't suffering. That's just tremendous HaKadosh HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uba'osos, Zeh HaMateh, all the different Nisim and Falls that happened with the Mateh. Here you have to mention them. Zamata. What was the Nisim with the Mata? The Nachash. And Moshe Rabbeinu is with his hands, and his hand turning into Tzaras, as soon as he told Lashon Hara and Am Yisrael. And you have to talk about those, right? And the Mata, and the Nachash, his Mata. You gotta mention those things. Ube Mosim. Zahadam. Mosir is referring to blood. What blood? Not so clear. Kemoshe Ne'amar. V'nasati Mofsim B'Shamayim Ba'aretz Dam Be'esh Yisim Rosh Hashem. Now, this is something also you do not notice in your Haggadah unless you have something formatted well. Take a look at this now. By the way, what do we do during Dam Ve'esh V'Yisim Rosh Hashan? We did Dam Ve'esh V'Yisim Rosh Hashan. Dam Ve'esh V'Yisim Rosh Hashan are the last 4 words of the Pasuk that we just quoted, V'nasati Mofsim Shemayim V'aretz. We're in the middle of a Pasuk. That's why I put the quotation. These are the only quotation marks I think I put. Maybe I put somewhere else also. This quotation marks before the word Venasati and after the word Ashan. This is one pasuk. And that's why, for example, in this Haggadah, what I did color? Was I quoted in green.
Yeah.
I quoted in green Venasati. Because we're quoting this pasuk, Venasati Dam Ba'is Timrosh Ashan. It's the only way to notice it. Most of them is referring to Dam Timrosh Ashan. Smokestacks. Simros? Simros Hashan, I don't remember myself. Okay, that's Uve Mosim. Okay, we're continuing on just for one more second. Davar Acher, the last, nothing.
Why did it mention Dam?
I don't know. Why blood? No, why blood?
Why did first group and then now all of a sudden it's specifically mentioning one?
Good question. We're going to wait. Avinam is going to tell us in the Mitzvah Shem tomorrow before shit. No, I'm kidding. Anyway,
Steve will tell us.
Like, where's Steve? Steve,
it's Monday. Basically, it's like I'm saying, don't interrupt. Anyway, no, okay. You interrupt, you're going to get an assignment. Anyway, let's go on. Dabar Acher, we're up to the last line. It's referring to all of the Makos. Hashem took us out. Also shtayim, plural. The first ones are two words each, so that's why they're two. Osos is plural shtayim, moser shtayim. That's ten. This whole pasuk is that Hashem took us out with ten makos. Now, just one ha'ara. We just quoted four psukim. The problem is that there are six psukim in Mikra Bikurim, but here we're only quoting four. We're missing two. Now, pasuk number six is not such a question. Because pasuk number six says, and here are my fruits. I don't think that we don't say, and here are my fruits. But, what was the fifth one? The fifth one was, and you brought us to Eretz Yisrael. So Alpi Pshat, even though I have a beautiful drasha in the Haggadah Marathon, but in Alpi Pshat, I love the vort of the Melamed Lahoil, which is Rav David Zvi Hoffman, a rav in Germany who was a big posig. And a big parshan on Chumash, Sefer Yikra especially, that Bizman Beis HaMikdash, they did darshan the fifth pasuk. And it's only now, Bizman Chorban, that we took out the fifth pasuk, and the drashas from that fifth pasuk, because we don't have Eretz Yisrael. And that is something that's a common theme throughout the Haggadah, which is Eretz Yisrael's absence. We only have four kosos of wine. We don't have the fifth kos of wine. We pour it, but we don't drink it. What's that all about? What's the fifth cup of wine all about? We'll talk about that when we get to the we're not going to get up to it. Because we'll see. Okay. Now, this is the time now, because at the end of this drasha, we just started talking about Esher Makos. Now we delve into the Esher Makos. We're now on page three. And really, it's basically, there's still more to talk about in terms of CBC and sign. We're not really done yet. The Esher Makos are crucial. The Esher Makos are very, very important. We take a little bit from Dam Va'esh V'Simros Hashan. We take a little bit of the wine, and also during the Esher Makos, Dam Tzvardeya Kinim, and then also Ditzach Adash Bechav. Why do we take a little bit of wine out of the cup? So Mefarshim explain the Barbanel, I think, that says that our simcha is not shalem because an entire people had to be destroyed, an entire nation had to be destroyed, Paro and the Mitzrim, and even though it was very necessary and they were worthy. And they were deserving of it, but still, the fact that Maise Yodai, people of the earth, Tzelem Elokim, people who were human beings, were destroyed for us, is something that at least causes us to pause, and that our cups are not entirely full. Our cups are not entirely full when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Maise Yodai had to be destroyed. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them, so we don't mean that they didn't have to be destroyed. They had to be destroyed, but the fact that it worked out this way, our simcha is not exactly shalom. I want to mention something that's also important about the Etzer Makos. I think it has to be mentioned during the Haggadah, and that is, who did the Makos happen to? All of Mitzrayim. What do you mean? What'd they do? What did the Mitzrayim do? Not true. What they did, well, I mean, that's the answer, I guess. They were all guilty. It's only because they're all guilty. They were all responsible. Because it obviously, if the nation would have been against such a thing, the nation was silent, the nation was obviously okay with it. If the nation wouldn't have been okay with it, so then none of this would have happened. In other words, there is some type of collective responsibility on the Egyptians. And the same thing is true, Bizmanenu, is a famous book that was written called Hitler's Willing Executioners. Anybody read it? No? Okay. Anyway, it's one of the most famous works in the last how many years about the Holocaust, and it's about how the people of Germany were guilty. That it was only because the ideas that the Nazis stood for was something that the Germans embraced, that the Germans were okay with. It wasn't just silence out of fear, it was also an agreement, and it was only through their help, through their agreement, that any of this happened. Okay. Now, very important at this part, you fill up the kos again. To fill up the kos again, because you were pogame the kos somewhat, So therefore, you have to fill up the kos, whatever wine has been there. You should not be drinking the wine. When you do the thing with the pinky, you should not be drinking the wine off your pinky, because you're not supposed to be drinking between the kosos. So use a napkin. They have napkins wherever you're going to be. Except for here. Here, this is one of those things.
Fill up a few drops after you take out the beer.
After you take out the drops, you fill up the cups a little bit more.
Right there during Maggid?
Right then. Right then. When I just said it.
No, we don't know.
I know. That's what I said. Fill the cups. After you do that, fill the cups. Not each time. After the set.
No, yeah.
Our cups are not full. I'm saying it's a symbolic act. Our cups are really not going to be full. Our cups have to be full because we're drinking cups of wine tonight. But it's the symbolism. It's not that actually we're not going to drink less. We're going to drink less wine. Question? So yeah, so it's the same answer. It's a symbolic act that our cups are not full, but our cups have to be full for the halachos part because of the kosher bracha. It's not undue. A drop. Not good.
A drop.
You can drink it later. You can drink it later. If you put it on the table.
On your plate.
They're talking about the Baal Tashlis of the on your finger or on the plate?
You can lick it up.
The wine that's on the plate now or the wine that's on your finger still?
It depends on what you do with the wine.
Oh, some people go like this? Does anybody do that?
No.
I don't think anybody does that. You know what? I want to tell you. This is a parenthetical. I can't ask you to pause it. No, don't pause it. There was another reason why I thought that it was very important to do this tonight. I experienced only my family Seder my whole life. I went to anybody else's Seder. One time I went to my in-law Seder, my brother-in-law Seder in Hong Kong. But besides that, I've always been at my own Seder. So I don't know what other Seders are like. And I think that a lot of people are like this. They've only been at their own Seders. They haven't been at any other Seders. So like some of the things I'm mentioning tonight is like at least being more of you. Hey, I don't do it that way. But you should know. Not that you should do it differently. I'm just saying you should know that there's other, you know, sometimes there are other minhagim out there. I don't mean there's major differences. Let's continue. The Eser Makos. This is where I discuss. It needs to be discussed. We need to discuss the Eser Makos. Each Maka. What was so bad about the Maka? So I do it in the following way. I found in the Sefer Matamei HaShulchan a section called Mida Keneged Mida by the Makos. Okay? Mida Keneged Mida by the Makos. What page is this on? I'd like to just tell you a page number. That would be nice. Okay. Used to be there. Not anymore. Terrible. Crazy.
Oh! Cell phone.
Page 74. On page 74, he then goes through each maka and he discusses what was the mida keneged mida of the maka. So Dam has 9, Tzvardea has 14, I'm sorry, Tzvardea has 17, Kinim has 7, Arov has 7. He starts going through all the mida keneged mida. Why is it so important to go through the mida keneged midas? So I found it great. First of all, gets everybody thinking. What is the mida keneged mida? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the mitzvah this maka as opposed to anything else? What does it show? But it was two things. Number one, I'll illustrate with the first example. Okay, let's go through Dam. We're going to go through Dam. First shot is they caused us to bleed when we were working. They worked us until we bled. Okay. Now, we're not doing Mida Keneged Mida anymore for a second. Let me just tell you the Tofa, why it's so important. Right now, this showed us something about the Shibud. That the work was so tough until we bled. So now we just revealed, in just trying to figure out what the Mida Keneged Mida was, something about the Shibud. And the Hakaras HaTov, the Hakaras Brachot that we have, and the fact that we don't, Hakaras Brachot took us out of that we're not bleeding anymore. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Egyptians in that way to show them and to show the Nisim and flows straight to their face. You caused blood, so you're going to get blood right back at you. So this is a lesson in both Hashgachas Hashem. This is some particular aspect of the Shibud which should be mentioned. each answer is going to be something like this. Each answer is going to bring this out. So I'm going to give just a few examples. And the ones I have in front of me, you'll be able to read this if you want, from page 74 and on. For Adam, the Ababanel says that the Yeor turned into blood because it was full of blood. It was full of the blood of children. All the children that were thrown in and died. Basically, it was symbolic, just like the, and then just like the children died in the Yeor, so too all the fish now, there was no life in the Yeor now. You threw live children in there and they died. So therefore, now there's no life at all in the Yeor anymore, and the Yeor is now turning to Dam. The Kli Yakar says, Paro says, and it's based on the Medrash, that Paro thought that he was the Yeor, that he owns the Yeor, he created it, it was a gaiva, he made himself into an Eloka, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to wage war with the Yeor first, to basically, the Pur Anos starts with Paro. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah says that Paro, when he got Tzaras, he used to bathe in blood of 300 babies daily. The Medrash says that. So therefore, the place of bathing for the Am Mitzrayim was now turned to blood. You know, it's, if he was bathing in the blood of the, so now everyone's going to have to bathe in blood. All of these answers, two things: they show something horrible about the Shiva of Mitzrayim, and they also show the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Bida Kenegan Bida Hashgacha Sabari. Tzvardeya. One of the principal aspect of the Tzvardeya, the Makkah of Tzvardeya, was very much the fact that they made a lot of noise. Extremely noisy. So, Mefarshim talk about the different Mida Kenegan Midas with noise. They, when they woke us up in the morning to work, they made a tremendous amount of noise. They did not allow us to sleep. They kept banging. They used to scream at the Jews in order to scare them and frighten them. They caused mothers to cry when their babies were snatched away from them and thrown into the Yeor. And also, when the mothers gave birth, they wanted to cry out, but they couldn't cry out because they didn't want anybody to hear them. So they were able to do childbirth without screaming because they were scared of the Mitzrim. So this was the symbolism of the Tzvardim now making a tremendous amount of noise, is that was the noise that was supposed to be, the natural noise that was supposed to be. And then my all-time favorite, Mida Keneged Mida, for all of the Makos put together, is the Malbim by Tzvardeya. You know, when a baby is born, a baby is obviously very small. But like the legs, if you ever seen a newborn baby, the legs are so tiny, they look like frog legs. When the frogs were coming out from the Yeor, they looked like babies. And they were screaming. It was basically like the screaming babies that were thrown into the Yeor, but all of a sudden coming out from the Yeor were the screaming babies that they threw in there. It's like a horror movie. It's spooky. That is my all-time favorite. It's crazy. Anyway, Kinim, lice. The Kli Yakar says they made us work. They made us work in the fields, and that caused a tremendous amount of sweat and caused us to have lice. And they made us work outside in the ground, and that's why it's the ground. The Afar Haaretz turned into Kinim. And the Kli Yakar also says that they worked us so hard we were never able to bathe, and that's why they got lice. That's why they received, and that's why the Mida Keneged Midas, they received lice. And all of these things point to the difficulties of the Shibud itself. But sometimes if we just say Avadim Ayinu L'Farav Mitzrayim, we'd have no sense about how tough it was. By illustrating these Mida Keneged Mida, we are trying to highlight how tough it was. Arov, the wild animals. Basically, the Abarbanel says they treated us like animals. They treated us like animals, hitting us. They had animals living with us. They had us living in terrible conditions together with animals. And that's why the animals also entered their house and lived with them. Dever. So the Kli Yakar says, We were a nation of Ro'ei Tzon. We were a nation of people who took care of animals. And they made us into avadim and builders. And because we were turned into builders as opposed to shepherds, all of our mikneh died. In other words, a lot of our prosperity at the time, because we were successful shepherds, that prosperity died, and we weren't able to be economically viable then through the mikneh, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away their economic viability, and they took away their mikneh. Also, that was a kliyaka. We'll skip one. Shin. Clearly they hit us. They hit us on our bodies. We got a lot of wounds on our bodies, and that's why they were given wounds on their bodies. And the Kliyakar also says that since they disrupted family life and they didn't allow family to hug each other and connect to each other, therefore they gave them something like boils, which made them like disgusting in the other eyes of the family, and therefore also it disrupted the family connections. Barad. The Medrash says that they used to throw rocks at us, and they would punch us. So too the Barad is like rocks, it's coming down at them and hurting them. The Abarbanel says that they used to yell at us and scream at us. I guess it's like throwing rocks at us, speaking rocks at us, and therefore the Barad is symbolic of that. Choshech. Choshech. We're not even talking about Midah Kenegamida, but at least something that should be mentioned. So at least what I mention is, I skipped Arba. Choshech, you'll have to look in the Sefer for, these are just, I went to some of the better ones. For Arba, he's got 4. For Choshech, he's got 10. You'll have to look yourself. I have checks next to the ones that I like better. You can always cheat a little bit for that. Anyway, with Choshech, one of the things I asked during the Seder is, why was it so bad? Darkness. No, you can't get around in the dark. You can get around in the dark. You have to talk about how the darkness was thickness. They couldn't move. It was something that they didn't know what was. The fear that also darkness represents. In other words, talking about what each makkah represents. Okay, let's continue on. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer. Okay, wow. Great.
I think it's
the Nagata Marathon also. Why do you have to give simanim? Why do you have to group them 3, 3, and 4? So some mefarshim say that it's thematic. In other words, the first three are one theme, the second three are another theme, and the third four is another theme. But there is another answer, which is that Rabbi Yehuda used to do this all over the place. He didn't just do this by the makos. He used to always give simanim. So maybe that's just a mnemonic. Or a nice answer here is he doesn't even want to go through the makos one by one, because when we're talking about that the mitzrim got afflicted, so we also want to say that also in one shot and one quickly, because we also got the same idea of taking the blood out, taking the coast, taking the wine out of the coast, is because bin ful oyvecha al tismach, these are maisa yadai tovim v'yam, these are maisa yadai being afflicted, and therefore we don't want our simcha is not shalim, and therefore we say it rather quickly. But Rabbi Yehuda does this all over the place, so that's why you see money. Onward. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and Rabbi Akiva Omer. They have interesting drashos about how many makos were on the yam. Okay? Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer. In Egypt there was 10, but on the Yam there were 50. How do we know? Etzba Elokim hi. Valayam, it says Yad. So it was the finger by the Makos, and it was the hand, which is 5 times more, on the Yam. It's 50. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no. Each Makah in Mitzrayim was not just one. It was 4. It was four. How do we know that? Shneemar, second line of Rebbe Eliezer. Yishalach bam charon apo. Here I bold faced it just so that you can know that it's a drasha. Yishalach bam charon apo. Evra v'zam mitzara mishlachas malachei ra'im. Evra achazam shtein zara shalosh arba and mariato. So in Egypt, each makkah was really 4. So that means 10 was really 40. And since it was times 5 in Mitzrayim, so it was 200. Rebbe Kiva does the same thing; he just adds 1. So now instead of 4, it's 5. 5 turned into 50. 5 times 50 is 250. 250 on the yam. what is this going on? What's going on over here? Who cares? What kind of numbers game is this? Who cares? So first thing is that there is a pasuk. I cannot believe I don't remember it so well. There's a pasuk that says, we're going to, oh my gosh. The pasuk that says that when the more that happens to the goyim, we're not going to have. Kol machalah shesamti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he's not going to give us what he did to the Egyptians. So, the more we say about what happened to the Egyptians, the more it will be better for us. It's cutesy. The way it sounded even better is to say what they were referring to wasn't only the Mitzrim. They were also alluding to the Rabbanim here were alluding to the Goyim that were afflicting Am Yisrael at the time. And they were trying to say that there should be more, there would be more afflictions, more afflictions, that we should have more good and more good. There should be more, more punishments here. This way, it'll be better. It'll be better out, better off for us. But I think Al-Pi Pshuto, the question that really needs to be asked is: this is the only mention of Kriyas Yamsuf in the Haggadah, and we give three paragraphs for it. This thing about Kriyas Yamsuf. Why does Kriyas Yamsuf play such a central role? So first of all, Kriyas Yamsuf was a central part because that was the end of the Shibud. They died. We were no longer looking over our shoulders anymore, right? When we were Boreach, Ke'eved HaBoreach, when an Eved, right, when an escaped convict is in that diner, I don't know, I feel like he's always in that diner, and now, and then two policemen walk in, right? Two policemen walk in. And the convict is like, does his eyes, you know, and he's looking into the door and saying, hoping that nobody catches him. We're always an escaped convict until Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was the Makkah B'Patish, and Kriyas Yamsuf was also the greatest nace. The Nekama against the Goyim, the nace, the end of the Shibud. That's why Kriyas Yamsuf does play a role, and that's why we're mentioning it now. What is this, the idea that there were five times as many Makos during Kriyas Yamsuf than there was in Mitzrayim? Why was Kriyas Yamsuf, why do they deserve this so badly? So the Aruch HaShulchan says something I say every year. Such chutzpah. The Egyptians made us slaves. Then 10 makos happened in Mitzrayim. And then we left. And what do? They chase after us. What a chutzpah! What a chutzpah! They deserve much greater than they got beforehand. Now they need a real patch. You know, beforehand, we gave them a finger. But now, we're giving them a full-handed, you know, a full hand. We're giving them a full hand. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is giving them a full-handed patch. Okay. Kama malot tovot labakam aleinu. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu would have done chicken sandwich and not done nisim, dayenu. What's all of dayenu all about? Dayenu doesn't mean this was enough. It would have been enough. What do you mean it would have been enough? Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't feel it was enough. Yeah, if Hakadosh Baruch Hu would have brought us to Har Sinai but not given us the Torah, that would have been enough. It would have been enough not to receive the Torah? How dare we say such a thing? So the pshat is simple. The pshat doesn't mean it would have been enough. It would have been enough to thank you. There's what to thank on each stage of this process. Of course, the entire process had to happen. Everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everything to happen. But there's something worthy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for each step of the way. Now, what you have to do is you have to go through each one of these lines and figure out, and what are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he took us out of Mitzrayim. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Asa Behem Shevatim, that he did Nisim against them, because we were able to see that Nekama against them, Benisim. Ilu Asa Be'elohehem, he also attacked their gods, showing our loyalty to Hashem and showing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was Haragis Bechoreim. He really brought them down to size. He was Nasan Lanu Es Mamonam. He gave us physical prosperity. Kriyas Yamsuf, the tremendous nace that happened. And not only that, heavy run. Just the nace itself of Kriyas Yamsuf was enough. The splitting of the sea. Next line. Heavy run al Sokol Becharava. He also brought us through the Yam, and it was dry. In other words, we were able to feel with our own two feet the actual nace, to experience it ourselves. Ilu Shikat Tzareinu B'socho. He also took our Tzareinu, our enemies, and he made them be brought into the Yam, the end of the Shibud. He was